Ephesians chapter 4. It's a new chapter, huh, in the history of my preaching on the platform. All right. Maybe somebody's giving me a hint. I don't know. Putting toothpaste on my microphone. I'm going to tie my shoe before my wife says anything. All right. I got the toothpaste off and my shoes tied. Amen? All right. Okay, good. Ephesians is where we're going to be tonight. So you can be turning there. Ephesians. I am glad you're here tonight. We're going to start a brand new series tonight entitled Understanding the Body of Christ. Hopefully the next 4 weeks, next 4 Wednesday nights in a row, we are going to endeavor to understand this doctrine of the body of Christ. Since the world began, the prophets declared the fact that God would one day bring the restitution of all things on the earth. How many of you agree with me? This earth is definitely spinning in a way that's under the devil's domain, you know? I mean, this world's messed up, amen? But aren't you glad to know Christ is going to return one day? And He's going to bring the restitution of all things, the Bible says, to the earth. Peter taught Israel on the day in Acts chapter 3, he taught them that that wonderful event was going to commence with the return of Jesus Christ to earth. He said Christ would return and bring the restitution of all things to the earth. That divine earthly kingdom that Christ is going to set up on the earth, it's going to be vested in the nation of Israel, and those promises to them will be fulfilled. And the Davidic throne, the throne of David, will be restored on the earth at last through the Lord Jesus Christ, who was of the seed of David. But hidden in God were some spiritual truths that Paul referred to as the mystery. In your handout it says, in this dispensation of grace, God is forming a brand new organism called the church, the body of Christ. Go with me to Ephesians 3 and let's look at this real quickly. Ephesians 3:1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation, he made known unto me the mystery. And I was reading today, H.A. Ironsides made an interesting note there. It didn't say that Paul got it from the scriptures of the prophets or the Old Testament. Ironside made a point to bring out Paul got it by revelation. He got it by revelation. And he got it by revelation. Notice how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was what? Not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be, here we go, fellow heirs, and of the same what? Body. I wonder what body that is. And partakers of his promise. They're not partakers of his promise through Israel, which is what the prophetic plan called for. Rather, the Gentiles are partakers of his promise. What's the next two words? In Christ. By what? By the gospel, whereof I was made a minister. So, God is doing something new. He's He's doing something that was hidden. He's doing something that was not made known previously. He's forming a brand new organism called the church, the body of Christ. Now, is the prophetic plan involving Israel in the earth, is that still going to happen, yes or no? Sure it is. God's still going to fulfill all His promises to Israel. That prophetic plan, still going to happen. That plan that was prophesied since the world began, Peter said. Peter said that what he was preaching had been prophesied since the world began in Acts 3. What Peter was preaching was not hidden. And what Paul said, what I'm telling you was not made known. Peter said, what I'm telling you in Acts 3 has been made known since the world began. Through all the prophets since the world began. So the prophetic plan that Peter talked about that's been made known since the world began is still going to happen. Christ will return to the earth. Christ will restore the Davidic throne to Israel. And they will be a blessing to all nations. But that prophetic plan, church, it has been temporarily postponed and suspended. And in this dispensation of grace, in your handout, every single person is one of two things. Either, number one, they are dead in trespasses and sins. Look with me at Ephesians 2:1. Just go back there a page. Ephesians 2:1. And you hath He quickened, made alive, who were, notice these believers, before they were saved, they were dead in trespasses and sins. So before a person is saved, before they have the life of Christ, they are what? Dead in trespasses and sins. Or, number two, a person is alive in Christ. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 4. Ephesians 2, I'll let you write that in there, right in the word alive. And then look with me quickly at Ephesians 2, 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He's quickened us. He's made us alive. He's quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Amen, church? Isn't that good news? Now, what's God doing today in the dispensation of grace in your handout? It says God is taking believers and He's bringing them into spiritual union with Jesus Christ. He's forming the church, the body of Christ. He's taking believers. He's bringing them into spiritual union with Jesus Christ, making them one with Christ. And He's forming the church, the body of Christ. Look with me at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 22. Notice here, it says that the context here is God the Father has put all things under His, Christ's feet. And gave Him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the, say it with me, church, which is His what? Body. The fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now, how does God accomplish His work on earth today? Yeah, through the body of Christ. Look at Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. For we, those who are members of His body, we're His workmanship. We've been created in Christ Jesus, okay, unto what, church? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So God accomplishes His work today through the church, the body of Christ. Now, it's real. You say, well, Pastor Dan, why are you doing this series? Here's why. It is so crucial that every believer understand what God's Word teaches about the body of Christ. Because if not, you are never going to understand the purpose and the plan of God for this dispensation of grace. You're not going to understand what God's doing until you understand the body of Christ. And tonight, I want to give you a foundational truth on which we're going to build this series. And here it is. You ready? It's in your handout. There is only one body of Christ, not many. I want you to look with me at Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians 4, you may want to write this in your handout, this reference, because it's not in there. Ephesians 4, 4, it says, couldn't be any clearer, could it? Everybody read with me the first phrase. Ready? There is one body. There's one body. There's one body, one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Flip back there again. Look down with me at verse 15. Ephesians 2:15. The Bible says that Christ, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself, so He's made something in Himself, in Christ, of twain. That word twain means two. So Christ has made in Himself of two, and the two is Jew and Gentile in context. So He's taken two, Jew and Gentile. Notice what He's forming here. He's taken two in Himself, and what's He making? One new man. Underline that word, one. One new man. The body of Christ here is referred to as one new man. Now, this blows away the idea that you'll hear in some churches that the body of Christ has replaced earthly Israel. You'll hear that. A lot of your mainline denominations believe that the church has replaced Israel. That God's done and through with Israel forever. He's not going to fulfill His prophetic plan with them. And they take the promises to Israel and then they allegorize them and they apply them to the church. And they say, we have replaced earthly Israel. But the Bible teaches that the body of Christ, what God's doing today, that it's a new man. It's a new living organism that previously did not exist. The Bible is emphatic in your handout that every person who is saved is reconciled to God in one body. Look with me at Ephesians 2:16. Look at the next verse. Ephesians 2:16. And that He, Christ, might reconcile both, Jew and Gentile, unto God in what, church? One body. By the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So look up here. Christ has taken Jew and Gentile, He's reconciled them into one body, which we know is the body of Christ. And according to Ephesians 2, what did we just read? 16? Ephesians 2:16, how did Christ reconcile Jew and Gentile into one body? How did He do it? Come on, look at it and think. We got to think, you know? I mean, we just got it. We got to think when we read the Bible. How did He reconcile Jew and Gentile in one body? How did He do it? Did it by the cross. He did it by the cross. Through His cross work. I thought this was good. There's a little booklet I've got by H.A. Ironside. And somebody came up to him and said to him, to which of the various bodies do you belong? Ironside said he was asked that by a clergyman. Said, to which of the various bodies do you belong? And he replied, there is one body and I know no other. There is one body and I know no other. You know, the idea of there being one body destroys the notion that when the Bible speaks of the body of Christ, that it's speaking of a particular local assembly. Because that would mean that there would be as many bodies as there are local churches in the world, and that would mean there wouldn't be one body, but several bodies. If the body of Christ is speaking of just a local church, then of course there's another obvious problem with that. Can we see people's hearts, yes or no? No. So do you think that most local churches, as much as they preach the gospel and as careful as they try to be, do you think most local churches have members in it that are lost? Sure. Well, if the body of Christ is a local assembly and there's lost people in the local assembly, that would mean there's lost members in the body of Christ. That's a pretty absurd thought. Wouldn't you agree? It's obvious from the Scripture that the body of Christ is far more encompassing than a local body of professing believers. The body of Christ speaks of a heavenly called out assembly of true believers that have been made one with Jesus Christ. Now, there are some who recoil at that thought, and they would say, well, you believe in an invisible church. Because they believe that whenever the word church is used, it's always referring to a local assembly. And they would believe the body of Christ then would be a local assembly. And when you try to explain, no, the body of Christ, the church, the body of Christ, is not that, oh, you believe in an invisible church. Well, look at Ephesians 1 again, verse 22. And let's look at something here. Let's see how Paul, the Apostle Paul, defines the church. He will define it for you. He will define the way he is using the word church. Okay? And we're going to discuss in this series what the word church means. It means a called out assembly. And that the word church, you have to look in the context to see what assembly it's referring to. Because sometimes church does refer to a local assembly. But right here, the way that Paul's using the word church, what assembly is he talking about? Look at Ephesians 1:22. He says that God's put all things under his feet, and he gave him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the church. And then he's going to define it for you. What's the church? Which is his body. So according to Paul, in the context here, what is the church? It's the body of Christ. That's right. Now, you can get that in your handout, by the way. You can get that there, that statement. Now, look with me at Ephesians chapter 2 and go to verse 6. Ephesians 2, verse 6. And I want you to notice here something very important about those who are part of the body of Christ. It says in Ephesians 2, 6, that God has raised us up together and He's made us sit together where? Now, is that something He's going to do or is that something He's already done? According to the verse, He's already done it. So according to the verse, if I'm saved, where am I seated? According to the Bible, if you're saved, where are you seated? In heavenly places. We're both seated in the same place. I want you to get that in your handout, by the way. All who are part of Christ's body have been raised up and seated in heavenly places. Now, are you able to see physically who is seated in that heavenly called out assembly? Yes or no? No, you're not. You're not able to see it any more than I am. We can't see who's seated in that heavenly assembly. But can God see it? Yeah, in fact, 2 Timothy 2:19 says, "The Lord knoweth them that are His." The Lord knoweth them that are His. Hey, only God can see the heart. Am I right, church? Only God can see the difference between somebody who has truly trusted Christ and somebody maybe who has made a verbal profession in order to please his wife or in order to please her husband, or in order to please their kids. I've heard people say to me that supposedly got saved. They'll say later on, "I was just doing that to get her off my back." I've heard that. Have you? Maybe some of you have done that. I mean, maybe some of you, I'm talking about before, maybe before you actually got saved, maybe you prayed a prayer to get somebody off your back. Maybe you made a profession and even joined the church just to get them off your back. Maybe you let them dunk you in the baptistry just to get them off your back. But boy, God can see the heart, can't He? God knows who is part of the body. God knows who is in that heavenly called out assembly. And if somebody doesn't like the term invisible church, which really, I don't think that's a bad term. I mean, Colossians 3, there are just things that are invisible and we just need to face it. For instance, the Bible says our life is hid with Christ in God. You can't see it with a naked eye. It's hid, Colossians 3 says. The Bible says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are temporal, because the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are what? Not seen are eternal. So there's just things that are invisible, that are eternal things, like the body of Christ, okay, that's seated in the heavenly places that we can't see. But if you don't like the word invisible church, you could probably call the body of Christ, if you wanted to, the heavenly church, because we have been seated in heavenly places. It's that heavenly assembly. But regardless of what you call it or don't call it, you can't deny the truth of it. And that's the point. You just can't deny the truth of it. To further show us that the body of Christ is not just a local visible assembly, consider this, church. Paul was a member of the local church of Antioch. We know that in Acts 13. He was a leading teacher in that local church. And then he was sent out of that church to go out and do missionary work. We know he was a member of that local church at Antioch. But yet, look at Ephesians 5. Go over to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 30. He says, for we, includes himself in this, for we are members of his what? Body. Paul said that he was a member of the same body that those local believers at Ephesus were. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. That's one of my favorite verses, by the way, in the Bible. Isn't that awesome? You know, nobody else may get excited about it, but me and I get excited about it. I love that verse. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Aren't you glad to be one with Christ tonight? Man, you can't get any more one with Jesus than that. Consider this. Go over to, just go back to 1 Corinthians. You ought to know where that is, huh? From Sunday night. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. He's talking here of the body of Christ, verse 16. If you look at the end of verse 16, he's speaking of the body of Christ. Now look at verse 17. For we, and by the way, the we is Paul and Sosthenes. That's who is writing this letter according to 1 Corinthians 1:1. So we, y'all, us, okay? For we being many are one bread and what, church? One body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Speaking of the bread of life, Jesus Christ. Go over to Romans chapter number 12. Go back one book to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. And let's look at this. Now this is interesting. Romans 12:5. Well, let's go up to verse 4. Romans 12:4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Okay, now he's going to use that as an illustration. He uses the physical body as an illustration for verse 5. So we, includes himself, we being many are, notice this, say the next two words with me, one body. Why are we one body? Because we're what? We're in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Now, church, listen, Paul says he's a member of the same body that the Roman churches are members of, but yet Paul had never even been to Rome when he wrote that. So Paul says he's a member of the same body that the Ephesians are a member of. He says he's a member of the same body that the Corinthians are members of. And he says he's a member of the same body that the Romans are a member of. And he'd never even been to Rome. Do you guys see tonight that there's one body of Christ? Galatians chapter number 1, if you'll turn over there. Galatians chapter 1, you'll remember this hopefully from when we went through the book of Galatians verse by verse. Galatians 1:2, you remember that Paul wasn't writing to one local church, Galatians 1:2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the what of Galatia? Churches. So he wrote to several churches in the region of Galatia. Galatia was a region. He wrote to a lot of local churches, but look what he says about them. Look at Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither is there bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye, he's writing to a whole bunch, group of churches, for ye are all what? One in Christ Jesus. You're one in Christ. So all those local churches, he said, you're all a member of the same body. You're all one in Christ Jesus. In your hand, and by the way, that's in your handout. I didn't tell you that, but I hope you'll get that. It says that Paul's writing to a group of local assemblies, yet he declares they're all one in Christ Jesus. How do you become part of the body of Christ, church? Somebody tell me. How do you become part of the body of Christ? Yeah, in your handout it says you become part of the one body by faith alone in Jesus Christ. We just read it in verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, I've made a mistake, and I just will come right out and tell you I did. In your handout, I've got the wrong verse. And it's my fault. I gave the secretaries the wrong verse. That should be, if you'll just make an X through that verse at the bottom, that's actually the passage we're dealing with on Sunday nights, explaining about the supernatural sign gifts. That isn't at all the verse I wanted. I wanted 1 Corinthians 12:13. So if you wouldn't mind changing that in your handout, and if you wouldn't mind turning over there, I really want you to see it. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Turn back there to 1 Corinthians. Just from Galatians, you should be really close to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For by one Spirit, Holy Spirit, are we all baptized. So the Holy Spirit baptizes us into what? One body. So whether we're Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, we've all been made to drink in one Spirit. In your handout, it says the moment that a believing sinner trusts Christ, God's Spirit baptizes him into a living union with Jesus Christ, in which there is no racial, physical, or gender distinctions. Now that's interesting. You'll hear people talk about, well, you know, I'm saved and I'm a spiritual Jew. You'll hear people say that. You know, now that I'm saved, I'm a spiritual Jew. You know, or the church is spiritual Israel. Well, according to my Bible, in the body of Christ, there is no Jew or Gentile. Okay? There is no Jew or Gentile. You are not a spiritual Jew. Okay? Romans 2 has nothing to do with you as a Gentile. In case your mind is floating back to Romans 2, he is a Jew which is one inwardly. Look at the context, and you'll find in, I think it's verse 16, he's addressing Jews, physical Jews. Behold, thou art called a Jew. He's distinguishing between a true believer, part of the Jewish remnant, and somebody who's not. And he's saying a true Jew is someone who's been circumcised to the heart. He's writing to Jews. You're not a spiritual Jew. Okay? And we are not spiritual Israel. In the body of Christ, there is no racial, physical, or gender distinctions. We read it in Galatians 3. We read it again in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, in the local assembly, are there gender distinctions? Yes or no? Sure. In the local visible assembly, there are. And Paul recognizes those and he writes about those, but not in the heavenly assembly, the body of Christ. He says they're all none. In the heavenly called out assembly, we all stand in Christ on an equal basis. Amen, church? We all stand, rich, poor, male, female, Jew, Gentile, we all stand equal in Christ Jesus in that heavenly called out assembly. In your handout, it says local churches should be composed of individuals who have been made one with Christ and are members of the one body, the heavenly church. So, in other words, a local assembly like Crossroads, we should be composed of people who have been made one with Christ. They're part of that heavenly assembly. And then, you know what happens? The members of the heavenly assembly, they want to get together. They want a fellowship. Man, I'm a member of the same body you are. And I'm a member of the same family you are. And so members of the same family and members of the same heavenly assembly, that body, we come together in a local church for the purpose of studying God's Word together, edifying one another, praying for one another, and then collectively working together to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul told the Philippians, he said, I want you to stand fast in one mind with one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And that's why we meet as a local assembly. It's so we can learn God's Word and strive together to get out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why you have local assemblies. Those local assemblies should be local expressions of the body of Christ. See? Functioning. It's that membership in the heavenly assembly that makes us want to get together in a local assembly. In your handout, it says the most crucial question that every person must ask himself is not, am I a member of a local church? That's not the most crucial question. Okay? The most crucial question to ask is this. Have I trusted Christ as my Savior? And have I been brought into a spiritual union with Jesus Christ? And have I become a member of the one body, the body of who? Christ. That, and by the way, tonight, if you're not sure you're saved, my friend, you are either alive in Christ or you're dead in trespasses and sins. There's no in-between state. You say, but I'm religious. Well, that's not one of the options. The option is you're either alive in Christ or you're dead in trespasses and sins. The only way to be alive in Christ is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So if you've never trusted Christ, boy, wouldn't tonight be a good night to do that? Because listen, one day Christ is going to return in the heavens, not to the earth. That's the prophetic program. Peter said he's going to come back to the earth. That's the prophetic plan prophesied about since the world began. But Paul said, I show you a mystery. Christ is going to return in the clouds. And he's not coming to the earth. Rather, the body of Christ is going to be what? Caught up to meet him in the air. And if you're not part of the body of Christ and you're dead in your trespasses and sins, friend, you will be left behind to face the wrath and the judgment of God on this earth. So if you're not sure you're saved tonight, if you're not sure you're part of that one body, that heavenly called out assembly, that assembly that's been seated in heavenly places, if you're not sure you're part of that body, whether you ever become a member of Crossroads, you know what? That's not the issue. And if you never become a member of this church, I'm glad to tell you, you can still go to heaven. Because what matters the most is that you're part of that heavenly assembly that's been made one with Christ. Let's pray tonight. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, if you're here tonight and you're not sure that you